RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Happy Friday. Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. We got a great show today to wrap up the week for you guys. We're talking a little Baylor Bears on the show today. David Smoke going to join us here in moments to talk a little Baylor. We're also going to continue previewing the AFC East. We're going to look at the New York Jets on the show today. Our guy Shane Jackson going to join us like he does each and every Friday. Get Shane's thoughts on some Major League Baseball. And then we will also talk some MLB. We got a full slate today on this Friday. We'll give out some best bets on the diamond, and then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. Send in anything that you have, anything that's on your mind at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, or on X. We'll get to your questions throughout the show. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcast. Let's talk some Baylor here on a Friday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line, check in with David Smoke, who joins us. Give David a follow on X at David Smoke. Covers Baylor. Make sure you guys check out the 365 Sports YouTube channel and Smokey.com website as well. David, great to have you on, man. It is year 6 already of Dave Aranda in Waco. I really like his team this year. Do you think this is maybe the best team that Dave Aranda has had on paper since he's been at Baylor?
Well, it's going to be hard to compare until the end how good they were at the end of the year in that 2021 year, because they were 12-2, won the Big 12 title with that dramatic win against Oklahoma State. They had guys that went to the NFL, drafted by the NFL. But yeah, this seems to be something. They've kind of been up and down, like 2-7, COVID, okay, then 12-2, then they had a nice start to the next year, and then they ended up, 6-7, did not end up well, and then, of course, a disaster in 23, and now you saw them kind of become who they are, their personality, the quarterback change, DeSoya Robertson, the defense. Another year under the belt with Dave Aranda calling the defense should help, along with Matt Palage. But yeah, this, I would say, out of, because the 21 season, PJ, they came out of nowhere. Like, no one saw that coming, just like no one saw 3-9 the next year. But the expectations, the feeling around the program, the feeling from the fan base is because of how they ended last year, despite the loss to LSU in the bowl game, the this seems to be where everyone is really looking forward to it. And my goodness, we're going to find out next Friday, right? We're going to find out SMU, the two really solid right off the top non-conference games.
No doubt. I definitely want to get your thoughts on that Baylor-Auburn game because it's one of my favorites of week one. But I just wanted to harp on the offense a little bit more because, David, one of the big themes of the Big 12 that we've been talking about, all the returning quarterbacks in this league, right? Arizona State, Texas Tech, Kansas State, Iowa State, all have quarterbacks returning. Baylor, obviously, as well. Do you think Baylor, though, do you think they have the best offense in the Big 12 this season?
Woo! TCU's going to be explosive. I think Tech will just, you know, they lost Kittley to a head coaching job down in Florida, but I think they're going to be really, really explosive. It all just depends how much, if at all, is there a drop-off with Scadaboo at Arizona State because he seemed like he was the engine. But if you look at all the pieces, the couple of transfer wide receivers that have really stepped up in fall camp, the offensive line intact for the most part, I would say they're in that conversation. I don't know if they have the best offense, but with Coach Spavitzal and Sawyer Robertson on the same page, they got Ashton Hawkins eligible just, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, which is a huge deal. Yeah, I think they're in that mix. There's probably 3 to 4 teams that I would include in that mix.
Defensively, David, we know Dave Aranda's calling card is the defensive side of the ball. How do you expect that unit to look this year?
Has to be better. It has to be better. You know, the defensive line depth, they lost a transfer, obviously, the big guy early on, but they got somebody in from A&M that's a big fire hydrant. You got to have one of those in Dave Aranda's defense. They added a couple of guys that could put pressure on the quarterback. Their linebacker in Keaton Thomas is a special player. So I like what he can bring to the table. But the secondary, despite another year older, I remember a long, long time ago, if you don't mind, I asked a high school coach, this is a long time ago, so you had 9 starters back on defense, but they were like 1 in 9. And the answer, this guy had just that dry sense of humor. Yeah, that's usually pretty good, but we were 1 in 9 with those guys. And so the year extra, Caden Jenkins has to have a bounce back year. He was an All-American as a freshman. They need him to play that way this year. I do think that, yes, the defense will be better, and I do think without question, because Aranda has another year of being able to call the plays along with Matthew Pallage, let's just say they're 3 to 4 points a game better. I think they want to be better than that, and then they have the offense from start to finish. Then last year's 8-5 would have probably been more like a 9-4 or better.
We're talking Baylor here on Send It In with David Smoke. Give David a follow on X at David Smoke. All right, Dave, let's talk about this schedule that Baylor has. You alluded to it. That week one game against Auburn is going to be awesome. Then they get SMU the following week as well before diving into Big 12 play a couple weeks later. What are just your overall impressions of the schedule? Because it's a difficult non-conference, but then Big 12 play is pretty favorable because it appears all their toughest opponents are all going to be in Waco this year.
Yeah, I've been here since 2010, covered, you know, the state of Texas and college football for, like, I'm Methuselah with that. But this is the best non-conference schedule Baylor has had since I arrived in 2010. Remember, they were coming off that drought. Art Briles was trying to build something, but they were coming off that drought where they had not been able to get to a bowl game in almost, like, 15, 16 or so years. So they had to try to win games. The Big 12 schedule was pretty tough, and you played everybody back then at the same time. So this is their best non-conference schedule since I've been here. That's 15 years ago. You know, they used to play a cupcake schedule, and the philosophy, PJ, was, well, we just got to get to 6 wins. We've got to get back to being a bowl team. And they were 7-6 in 2010, and it hurt them at times because people would point to their non-conference schedule being so bad. Plus, a lot of voters hated the way the Big 12 would have 50 to 45 or whatever, and it's interesting because now a lot of conferences are doing that because of the way offense is played. But I don't know. Let me say this. If they start off with wins against, and it's a home game, and we don't know who Auburn is either because they might not be quite who they want to be, which is, of course, for them at a high level, SEC or not, they go 2-0 in this one, then we're talking about something that could be very special because of who they're playing. SMU, a playoff team. Lashley's got a hell of a football program. He's done a good job with that. And then we'll just see how things happen. But first of all, best non-conference schedule they've had since maybe back in the days of Grant Taft when he would play anybody, anywhere, anytime. USC, Michigan, Florida State, whoever, name them, they would play them. Nebraska, back when they were not in the Big 12. So I think the fan base is pumped up about the fact that they don't know if they're going to be 2-0 or 1-1, and it could be 0-2, but you know what they're going to know after that first game against Auburn? They're going to know if they're pretty good or not. And then, of course, you want to build on that.
No question. Dave, in about a minute, do you think Baylor is going to win the Big 12 title this year?
Oh, God. You know what? That's like saying, if you pick up a copperhead, is he going to strike you? You know this. Arizona State picked dead last. They won it. The 21 Baylor team was not picked very high. They won it. TCU, the year they played in Georgia for the championship, won a lot of close games. They were picked down below. They won it. So I'm kind of high on K-State. We'll know about them this weekend with Iowa State. But one thing I've learned, and I'm not trying to do a filibuster here, is nobody knows who's going to win the Big 12, not even the teams, the coaches, the fans, and especially someone like me.
So true. I can't wait for this league to get going. I can't wait for Baylor and Auburn in week one. Going to be a lot of fun. Oh. David Smoke, give him a follow on X at David Smoke Covers Baylor, and check out the 365 YouTube sports channel and also Smokey.com website as well. Dave, appreciate the time, man. Kind enough to join us from the side of the road and talk some Baylor with us. Enjoy the football season. Hope to catch up again soon.
You do a great job. Don't stop what you're doing. Keep that passion and energy. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, David. All right, guys, let's keep it rolling here as we continue talking Baylor on Send It In. And you can see the schedule, guys, obviously, with Baylor. We were talking about it a little bit with Dave, but that non-conference, just right off the bat, right? We've been looking at a bunch of these schedules, and a lot of these teams have some big week one games. Maybe some teams have some big 2 week games, but hardly anybody has two big week one and week two games, and that's what Baylor has right off the jump. They get Auburn at home on Friday night, which should be a terrific game. Hugh Freeze, obviously a huge year for his program at Auburn. They're going to be on the road taking on Baylor, and then you get an in-state matchup against SMU, going to be one of the top teams in the ACC again this year. That should be a really fun matchup as well. Then comes the game against Samford, and then bang, week four, you take on Arizona State to kick off Big 12 play at home. So I don't think anybody's got a bigger first 4 weeks of the season than Baylor does with those first three opponents, right? You have a chance to beat an SEC team at home. Then you have a chance to beat one of the top ACC teams on the road. And then you get the team that won the Big 12 last year at home as well in week four. So that's why I like Baylor this year. And when you look at their win total, it's 7.5, and the over is minus 120. They're plus 650 to win the Big 12 this season. That's why I like Baylor, is because, you know, a lot of these Big 12 teams, we've talked about all the experience that they have coming back at quarterback, right? We've talked about how a bunch of them have gone out into the transfer portal. Certainly Texas Tech had the number one transfer portal class. But Baylor, you look at their returning production, and it's pretty much guys that they're bringing back from their team last year. Top two running backs are back. Top two wide receivers are back. Plenty of old linemen are back. They have 8 starters back on defense. And then, of course, the quarterback, Sawyer Robertson, is back as well. So not only is their team experienced, but their experience playing together and the returning production that's coming back for your team. And when you have some monster games, 3 of the first 4 weeks of the season, and you have a team that closed pretty strong like Baylor did, I think that's huge for them, right? A lot of these other teams, if they're bringing in a freshman quarterback, maybe they're working in a new coordinator, they have a bunch of new guys like Oregon coming in, all these transfers. If they had these kind of games to start off the season, I'd be a little nervous. But with Baylor, all these guys being in the program together, I think if there was a team best equipped in the country, one of the best teams to kind of go at this schedule early on, it would be Baylor. So I think that helps them out. And again, some massive games that they have to kick off the season. Baylor's schedule, though, very favorable. They get the Arizona State game at home. They get the Kansas State game at home.
A happy
and
Friday.
They also get the Utah game at home as well. So their three toughest games on paper probably all at home for Baylor this season. Then you also get the TCU game on the road, which is going to be very difficult, but I do like how this schedule sets up for Baylor. Yes, it is tough early. You have to remember, though, even if they do go 0-2 against Auburn and against SMU, obviously does not affect their Big 12 schedule. Want to dive into this win total some more, because Baylor's win total is one of my favorites in college football this season. Only at 7.5 on BetMGM, and the over is minus 120, right? So let's kind of play worst-case scenario on Baylor this season with their schedule. Let's say they go 0-2 to kick off the season, right? They lose the Auburn game, and they lose the SMU game, which definitely could happen. And then at max, they can get 10 wins. Then let's look at their Big 12 schedule, right? Just talked about their four hardest games, the home games against K-State, Utah, and Arizona State, and then the road game against TCU. Let's say they go 2-4 in those games, which definitely could happen. We're still at 8 wins. Maybe they trip up a game the rest of the way, but I don't think that's probably going to happen. And again, they're probably going to go 1-1 in those first 2 weeks of the season. They're probably going to win and lose one of those games against Auburn and SMU. So I think 7.5 is a little light. Feels like their win total should be 8.5. So I like the number we're getting on Baylor, you guys. I think 8-4 is probably like the ceiling for this team. Maybe 7-5, but I think this could be a 10-win football team. I bet them to win the Big 12 as well. They are my pick at plus 650. I think they have the best offense in this league. I really like their quarterback, Sawyer Robertson, a lot. I'm not the biggest Dave Aranda guy, but I like the team that he is bringing back. I like all the returning production. Again, bunch of these teams in the Big 12 have returners coming back. They have a lot of returning production, obviously a lot of returning quarterbacks, but I think Baylor's schedule, getting just about all their toughest conference opponents at home, and I'm really high on Sawyer Robertson. So I'm big on this Baylor team. We'll take over 7.5 wins for Baylor this season, and we'll take them to win the Big 12 as well at plus 650. All right, let's go to a little NFL. Talk a little J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. And you guys know, if you're listening to the show, that I am high on the Jets for the upcoming season. I'm obviously low on New England. Talked about how I like their under 8.5 wins yesterday. I'm low on the Miami Dolphins. I talked about betting them to have the fewest wins in the NFL this year at 25-1. So if I'm down on the Patriots, I'm down on the Dolphins, and obviously I think the Bills are going to run away with this division. I think there's an opportunity for the Jets here to possibly finish second in the AFC East this season. And another team with the win total that I do like at only 6.5, and I would go over that at plus 110. Defensively, the Jets are still really solid, right? I mean, all three levels, they got playmakers all over the field. Quinnen Williams on that D-line with Will McDonald. You have Sauce Gardner in the secondary, still one of the top corners in football. Linebacking core is very good. Offensively, top receiver in Garrett Wilson, very good 1-2 punch at running back with not only Breece Hall, but also Braylon Allen, who I'm a big fan of. And I think this offensive line is pretty underrated as well. If you're a team like the Jets, though, and you obviously are in that New York market and you have to deal with that media, you're always going to have pressure on you. And when you bring in a guy like Aaron Rodgers, that's only going to get amplified. But coming into this season, the Jets kind of flying under the radar. Everybody expecting them to be one of the worst teams in all of football. And I love their head coaching hire with Aaron Glenn, because Aaron Glenn, I think, is going to do with the Jets exactly what his former boss, Dan Campbell, did with the Lions. You go into a losing organization and you change the culture. Because the Jets have been able to hit on some draft picks the last couple of years, right? I mean, they had the offensive and defensive rookie of the year the same year. So they have been able to hit on some of their top picks. They just have not been able to have the coach and obviously the quarterback to win games in the league. And Justin Fields, whether or not he's an NFL starter, still remains to be seen. I'm higher on Fields than most people, but I think the system he is in now in New York, and he's not going to constantly be looking over his shoulder. He's the guy for the Jets, right? The Jets want him to succeed. He's not probably the long-term answer unless he has a very good season, but he is definitely the guy for this season for the Jets. I think they're going to use his legs. And I think Aaron Glenn and the Jets are going to try and win games a lot of way the Steelers tried to win games last year when Justin Fields was their quarterback. Win games in the low 20s, lean on your defense, have Fields run the ball, don't turn the ball over, and just find ways to win close games. I think that's what the Jets are going to do. And again, you look at their schedule, not overly difficult, right? AFC East, so you do have to play Buffalo twice, New England twice, and Miami twice. But the Jets do play the Bills in Week 18. So obviously there is a good chance the Bills might be resting starters and the Jets could be playing the Bills backups in that game. Obviously, when you have a team with a low win total at 6.5, every game matters. That definitely is important. But they do get the NFC South this year, so they're going to have winnable games at home against the Panthers, at home against the Falcons. Obviously can win the game at the Saints as well, so that's a good schedule for them. And then they do get the AFC North. You get Rodgers and the Steelers right off the bat at home, which I think is a very winnable game. They get Cleveland, which they can absolutely win. Ravens and Bengals, those are going to be some tough games for them on the road. But, you know, the Jets, I think the way that their schedule sets up, this could be an 8, maybe even a 9-win football team. I would look at some AFC East exactas. I'd look to bet the Bills first, Jets second, Patriots third, Dolphins fourth. I feel pretty good that that could be the pecking order in the AFC East this season. But look, the Jets, I think they got a good head coach in Aaron Glenn, which is step one. I think they have a quarterback that is going to elevate the team and be better than a lot of people think they will be for the upcoming season. And I still think their defense is pretty solid, and they have good players on offense, and I think their O-line is underrated. I think this Jets roster is a little bit better than we give them credit for. Because Justin Fields has not proven himself yet as an NFL quarterback, that's why the win total is so low. But I think Fields could play better this season than people realize. So high on the Jets this year, like they're over 6.5 wins at plus 120. And again, think there's a chance they could finish second in the AFC East this season. All right, let's check in with our guy Shane Jackson joining us here on a Friday. Give Shane a follow on X at @ByShaneJackson. BetMGM writer does a great job. Make sure you go check out his work. Shane, let's talk some NFL to start, my friend. I was just talking the New York Jets. I'm high on the Jets this season. Think they're going to go over their 6.5 wins. I think there's a chance they could finish second in that division this year. What are your thoughts on gangrene this season?
Yeah, personally, I try not to have too many thoughts on the Jets in general, but I do appreciate your optimism. I think there's a path, obviously. You know, the pro argument in your favor is that they were probably unlucky last year, 3-7 in one score games. Special teams was a real problem last year. Aaron Rodgers was a shell of himself returning from that injury. So I do get why the Jets cleaned house, and maybe someday they will notch their first playoff berth since 2010. I just don't know if it's going to happen this year. I think this team can do a lot of fun things in the run game, like you mentioned, with Justin Fields and Breece Hall. But how much will they do that while trailing? Defense, you know, obviously good. How much does that carry over year to year? I think it might be a little bit too early on the Jets personally, but I don't have a strong opinion on 2 through 5. I mean, I think all those three teams are going to underperform.
So you only have the Bills making the playoffs out of the AFC, Shane. Is that your only team in that division?
Correct. Yeah, I think, not to be a complete downer in this show, but I do think the Bills are the team in the AFC. I think the Dolphins probably have the second best chance of making the playoffs. I think Tua went healthy. I mean, that offense works, but he's only had one full season in his career. I agree with you. I think it's probably a little bit too early on the Patriots. The Drake May optimism, Mike Vrabel optimism. I mean, they went from a win total of like 4.5 to 8.5 within the last year. I just think that's maybe too high, even with the soft schedule. And the Jets aren't quite there yet. So I'd rather go, if I'm going for the surprise AFC playoff team, maybe 2 AFC South teams, or just 3 in the AFC West or AFC North.
Very good. Let's look AFC big picture. Buffalo is the only team we have left to preview on Monday, Shane. So we're just about done here with our NFL previews. Who do you like to win the AFC this season?
Yeah, in my heart, I want to pick our Ravens to win it. And I do think, you know, this is a good year for them. I mean, this is as excited as I've ever been, probably for a Ravens season. I do think Josh Allen can get over the hump at some point. But I have a rule that I created a few seasons ago. I'm not going to pick anyone other than the Chiefs until someone beats 15 in the AFC playoffs. It hasn't happened for a while. I get, you know, the argument against the Chiefs. You know, unlike the Jets, they were very favorable in one-score games last year, probably due for some regression. But at the same time, when you have the best head coach quarterback combo in the league, that 70% win rate in one score games makes a lot of sense. And now, coming off getting smacked in the Super Bowl, they have something to prove. Mahomes is maybe the best receiver core that he's ever had. I wouldn't be surprised if we get, you know, maybe that MVP Mahomes type season this year with something to prove. And I think that's scary hours for the rest of the AFC.
I agree. I picked Mahomes to win the MVP. I think your Chiefs bet's a good one as well. Shane, let's talk some Major League Baseball now here on Send It In. We're talking to our guy, Shane Jackson. NL wildcard race is getting very interesting. Your boy's got a 60-1 future on the Reds to win the National League. So I've been very pleased with what I'm seeing out of the New York Mets, who just refuse to win games these days. Who do you think is going to make the postseason, Shane, in the NL wildcard? Is it going to be the Mets or the Reds for you?
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting one. Right now, I think Fangraphs gives a 71% chance to the Mets, so they're not thinking this is as close as the standings make it seem. And, you know, looking at the remaining schedule, I think that kind of makes sense. The Reds have the second toughest remaining schedule in the league, facing the Blue Jays, Dodgers, and the Padres. Whereas, you know, the Mets, they have three games this weekend against the Braves. They also face the Marlins seven more times, and they get a three-game set against the Nationals. So these two teams face off a couple weeks from now. The Mets could have more of a cushion by the time these two teams face off, but obviously if it's still interesting by that point, you'd have to feel pretty good about your Reds position.
Let's talk about the NL West, Shane. This division's getting really good, and they play a three-game series starting tonight. The Dodgers and the Padres. LA just swept the Padres out Chavez Ravine. Now they have a one-game lead going into tonight's series. Who do you like to win the NL West at this point?
Yeah, I have to wonder if the Dodgers get some like extra enjoyment out of making the Padres think they have a chance, because they let the Padres take the division lead and then they sweep them last weekend to regain control. Obviously, you remember last year when San Diego had two different chances to eliminate Los Angeles and didn't do it. The Dodgers and the Padres both have favorable schedules down the stretch. But after this weekend, the Dodgers only play two more current playoff teams at all. I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of kick it into high gear, starting with a series victory this weekend.
And then let's talk about the AL West. Houston's up two games right now on Seattle. Mariners had a little bit of a rough road trip. They got swept by Philadelphia. They're back home now. Who do you like to win that American League West, Astros or Mariners for you?
Yeah, I've been pretty chalky on today's show, telling your viewers, you know, the Chiefs and Dodgers are good in case they forgot. So I'll go with the underdog here. Pagoda's projections favor the Mariners by a comfortable margin, giving them about a 67% chance of winning. And, you know, I do think Seattle is probably the better team. I mean, this is only a two-game gap. They play, you know, in late September, but I think if they can stay afloat, I like their chances down the stretch. Houston, it feels like they get a different injury every other week. So I do think the Mariners have a shot to kind of chase the Astros down here in the final few weeks.
Seattle plus 110 to win the AL West. Looking to do that for the first time in a long, long time. He's our guy, Shane Jackson. Give him a follow on X at by Shane Jackson. Shane, we'll see you in a couple weeks, my friend. Getting ready for week one of the NFL. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, see you then. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right, great stuff there from Shane Jackson. Talk a little baseball, getting a big league, Peej. I see our guy, Moist Cupcakes, looking at Kyle Tucker under 2.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. I like that play a lot. Now, as you point out, Moist Cupcakes, it's juiced under minus 155. But look, Tucker's still hurt. He's just not himself right now. He's going up against a left-hander tonight, Tyler Anderson for the Angels. So I think your play is a good one, even though you have to lay minus 155. Like you said, seems like a pretty solid bet to me. Rockies and Pirates tonight in Pittsburgh, arguably the two worst teams in baseball. We're passing on that game. Nationals and Phillies in Philadelphia, Taijuan Walker against Cade Cavalli. I'm going to take the Phils on the run line tonight at minus 1.5. Nats are coming off a series win against the Mets, so maybe a touch overvalued. We'll take Philadelphia tonight on the run line. Red Sox and Yankees tonight in the Bronx. How about the Red Sox coming through for us last night? Wouldn't bet them tonight, though. Now, I don't want to lay minus 185 with the Yankees. Max Fried is on the mound, which is why they're so heavily juiced. But maybe look at Aaron Judge potentially under total bases tonight. He's going up against Brian Bello. He's like 2-for-17 in his career against Bello. So obviously get a nice plus money price on that, targeting Judge under total bases. Astros and Orioles tonight in Baltimore. Lance McCullers Jr. going up against Cade Povich. I'm going to take the Astros tonight. I do not like this matchup for Cade Povich against this Astros lineup, so we'll take the Astros at minus 110. Give me the Royals on the money line tonight, plus 125 against Casey Mize and the Detroit Tigers. Mize has faced Kansas City twice this season. First start did really well. Second start, not as much. Kansas City needs these games. They got to keep pace, obviously, with Seattle for that last wild card spot. So I think they start tonight with the series win. We'll take the Royals at plus 125. Blue Jays and Marlins tonight in Miami. Shane Bieber making his debut for the Blue Jays tonight, and I'm going to look to fade him. I like Miami at plus 135. Mets and Braves start a three-game set out in Atlanta. Usually Atlanta's a house of horrors for the Mets, and I think that starts again tonight. Mets are just not playing good baseball. I'll take the Braves at minus 115. Twins and White Sox tonight in Chicago. We're getting the White Sox at plus 110, Shawnee Sharp. Let's take your boys, plus the money. Guardians and Rangers in Texas. Nathan Eovaldi on the mound for the Rangers, and we're only getting minus 145. Feels like a good price to me. I'll back Eovaldi and the Rangers. Giants and Brewers in Milwaukee. You got Cade Wisenhunt going up against Quintana. I mean, it's the Brewers. They're back at home off a tough series against the Cubbies. I like Milwaukee tonight. I also like the Angels tonight. So I think the Kyle Tucker play is a good one, but I also like the Angels at plus money. Nice letdown spot for the Cubbies after that big series against the Brewers. Fly out to Anaheim. Give me the Angels plus 120. Reds and D-backs tonight in Arizona. No bet for me, but obviously rooting for my Reds in that one. Dodgers and Padres. I'm taking the over 8 in this game. Blake Snell against Yu Darvish. Snell's been terrific in his return, but these two teams just played like 5 days ago, and normally when that happens, I like betting the over in the second game with both lineups, kind of that familiarity, so I'll go over 8 in that one. Athletics, Mariners, Brian Wu's a minus 220 favorite today. Gonna pass on that one. Nothing for me in that game. BetMGM promo that we got for you guys. It's the king of the big swing, making the best day of the week even sweeter. Here's how you can knock a bomb of bonus bet into your account on a Friday throughout the season. Place your first home run bet of the day, parlays now included, on a player. If they hit the longest home run of the day, you win a share of $50,000 in bonus bets. No opt-in necessary. Just apply your Big Fly Fridays qualifying token dropped into your account to use on the first player or players you take a hit, a home run every Friday. Really quick, guys, we'll go rapid fire through our best bets of the day. Salvador Perez is going to be my play in going streaking. He is 13 for 30 in his career against Casey Mize. Told you I love Baylor this season. Prop lock's going to be over 7.5 wins on the Bears. Royals going to be my dog of the day today, plus 125 against the Tigers. And Dodgers Padres over 8 is going to be my best bet of the day. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Week 0 tomorrow in college football. Can't wait. We'll break down week 1. Look at the Bills and Arizona State on Monday. We'll see you then.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.